This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
I'm John Batson with my colleagues, Bill Raggio, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, Long War Journal. And we're discussing the Ukrainian-Russian war with John Hardy, who watches it for FTD. And we've been visiting at Kursk and now Belgorod, but the battlefield is said to be a 1,000-mile front line. And one of the challenges for the ceasefire negotiation in Saudi Arabia or wherever it's going to take place in these next weeks is how do you secure the front line? Now that we have the Belgorod episode to account for, it gets even more challenging. These things break out, and certainly the counselors have to take them into account when they're trading thoughts about how to get a ceasefire in place. John, does it strike you as practical that you could enforce a ceasefire along a 1,000-mile front? Is anybody in the release out of Kyiv or Moscow talking about how to do that?
I think, you know, enforcing and monitoring the ceasefire is really the second order question. The first order is Moscow's willingness to agree to it. And so far, Putin is really putting forward maximalist demands for a full-scale ceasefire, including the cessation of Western arm flows to Ukraine. So like, right now, unfortunately, the prospects for that ceasefire are still pretty distant.
Bill, you have a question.
John, there's been indications that the Russians are not interested in having NATO peacekeepers. This to me seems to be a non-starter for the Russians. Why is the European countries and Ukraine continuing to insist on this? Do you think that there is a possibility that the Russians will ultimately cave and allow a European peacekeeping force?
Well, I think Ukraine is insisting on it, you know, for obvious reasons. They want to have some sort of security guarantee because they understand that this peace deal with Russia will not be worth the paper it's signed on. And I think many European countries are sensitive and kind of share the same threat perception. In terms of what Russia will accept, I think, you know, one consideration is that, you know, we should not base our plans, or at least, you know, we should not preclude ourselves from planning to put ourselves in the position to be able to execute on that kind of reassurance force if there is an agreement reached that enables it, right? So we shouldn't kind of base our planning on what Moscow's preferred outcome is. I think second, it's not fully clear that Russian acceptance would be necessary for the force to operate. I mean, if you look at some of the proposals out there, if European countries have the political will to do it, they could just go ahead and do it, you know, without necessarily receiving Moscow's okay. I mean, without that explicit Russian acceptance, it would be more risky. But, you know, there are things you could do, I mean, whether it's like the Sky Shield proposal, for example, you know, that really could begin with European countries giving the go ahead without necessarily a Russian okay.
But John, wouldn't that not be, if the Russians refuse to have a peace deal, then, and they put up something like a Sky Shield, wouldn't that be the European countries entering an active participation in the war?
Well, I think it would certainly, I think it, you know, depends on which proposal you're looking at. If you're looking at, say, a European reassurance force on the ground, presumably that would be that the prerequisite would be some sort of ceasefire and end to hostilities. And then, you know, that force would deploy. For something like Sky Shield, which is a proposal where basically the Western air power covers the western half of Ukraine from things like cruise missile attacks. I think, you know, really you could do that now. And given that the Russian Air Force is not operating over Ukraine, you know, in terms of their fast jets, they're not flying over Ukrainian controlled territory. The risk of interaction between those warplanes is pretty low. So I think in that case that there wouldn't be a major risk of direct Russian escalation. The consideration would be, you know, how does Moscow respond to that? Do they retaliate in some way against Western countries?
We go to a report from Reuters within these hours. U.S. and Russia in Black Sea ceasefire talks after overnight strikes pound Ukraine. There's the paradox. U.S. and Russian officials, talks in Saudi Arabia aimed at sealing a Black Sea maritime ceasefire deal before a wider ceasefire agreement. However, overnight, Moscow and Kyiv both used drones to attack sensitive targets in countries, Russia and Ukraine. John, you follow this day to day. This can look like positive about the Black Sea, but at the same time, looks at best cynical. At worst, they're lying about backing off because they're both pushing drones deep into territory and hitting critical targets. So what is your measure? What's your instinct? Has the pace changed on either side of using drones? They like drones now, using drones to attack. Is there any break in the action?
Yeah, so we've still seen both sides conducting large-scale one-way attack drone attacks. Best I can tell, have still been some strikes affecting critical energy infrastructure. I don't know that we've seen like a major Russian aerial assault on, say, you know, electrical grid infrastructure or things like substations, for example, or like oil depots, things like that, since the ceasefire was signed. But you have seen some strikes affecting energy infrastructure in different ways. And then I think the Russians have also accused Ukraine of conducting those attacks, you know, unconfirmed, of course, but there may have been one oil installation struck in southeastern Ukraine or southwestern Russia, rather. So I think that ceasefire is shaky at best, and hopefully the talks in Saudi Arabia and forthcoming discussions can kind of solidify it. I think reviving the Black Sea Grain Initiative and kind of securing safety of shipping for Ukraine would be helpful as well. And, you know, these could be, you know, baby steps toward a more complete, comprehensive ceasefire.
If I understand you correctly, the attacks on energy infrastructure continue despite the exchange between the two presidents some days before. Is that correct, John?
I think they've continued to a degree, but you haven't seen, at least on the Russian side, you haven't seen a major assault targeting energy infrastructure specifically. You've had some strikes that have allegedly, say, knocked out power. You have not seen, you know, I suspect that's, you know, for example, why there was one strike in Dnipropetrovsk Oblast that hit a regional railway. Connection to the power grid. So, you know, that's sort of an energy strike. I've not seen something, say, targeting major energy installations in say, Kyiv or like gas production facilities deep in the country. So, you know, perhaps that's a change. We'll see if that actually lasts. But as I said earlier, I think I would describe the ceasefire as shaky at best. And I think you've probably seen violations by both sides.
Bill, you have a question.
You mentioned the Black Sea. Has there been any major attacks on shipping over the last, say, 6 months? That seems to be an area where the Russians really suffered major defeats at the hands of the Ukrainians, which has been quite surprising.
Yeah, I think despite Russia's pullout from the Black Sea Grain Initiative, Ukraine has really been able to push the Russian Black Sea fleet back and enable some degree of safety for shipping there. So that's been really important for Ukraine economically and a major victory for the Ukrainian military.
I want your assessment, John, about these talks in Saudi Arabia. They're said to be chiefly technical. What does that mean? Does it mean they're talking about banning drones, using drones for surveillance? Have you heard anything about what they're talking about?
So it means they're trying to execute on agreements reached at the political level. So in the recent phone calls between Presidents Trump and Putin and then Presidents Trump and Zelensky, you had agreements or supposed agreement for that energy ceasefire we discussed, for the potential ceasefire in the Black Sea. So essentially the U.S. and Ukrainian and Russian officials are meeting in Saudi Arabia to try to put a finer point on those political level agreements.
So they're not doing anything new that you can tell.
So yeah, they have an agreement in principle to, for example, revive the grain initiatives, ensure security of shipping in the Black Sea. Now that so you have that agreement at the level of Trump and Putin, right? And so now the U.S. and Russian officials at lower levels need to figure out how you actually do that.
John Hardy, Bill Raggio.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.